You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week two of our series, Extraordinary Ordinary People, the Bible's Supporting Cast. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and find us on Facebook and Instagram. And now, here is Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Hey, my wife Erica and I, we are currently watching the Netflix series Quarterback. Anyone else watching through this right now? All right, it's a, I don't know what you call it, a documentary, a docu-series, whatever it's called. It's following three NFL quarterbacks, or it followed three NFL quarterbacks through the 2022 football season in the NFL, and it gave an up close and personal look at the personal lives and also the professional lives day in and day out of an NFL quarterback. And the three quarterbacks they followed were Kirk Cousins, Patrick Mahomes. All right, we got some Kirk Cousins fans in the house. Kirk, Patrick Mahomes, and Marcus Mariota. It's actually really, really entertaining. If you haven't watched it, it's very entertaining to watch. But when I step back, I shouldn't say but when, I step back, because it is very entertaining, and when I step back and look at it from afar, it's also a little fascinating to me, our infatuation with professional athletes, of which, you know, the quarterbacks are like the absolute pinnacle. They have documentaries made about them. They have millions of people that watch them and cheer wildly for them every week. They make hundreds of millions of dollars in their career. And what is cool and actually quite positive about the positions that these guys are in is that they have huge platforms to do a lot of good. Each of these guys, you know, over the course of the series and various episodes, you see that each of them, they're a part of like amazing foundations that are doing so much good in their communities. They're serving under-resourced families, and they're visiting the sick, and they're feeding the hungry, and so on. And it's so cool. And what you kind of see is these guys become larger-than-life figures in their community. And when it comes to Jesus-following people, like if I took this a step further, when it comes to Jesus-following kind of people, Kirk Cousins is becoming like even more of a legend because of how open he is about his faith throughout the series. I've heard from a number of people that he is making fans out of people that don't even like the Vikings because he's such a good dude. I've had a handful of people that are like, I don't even like the Vikings, but Kirk, he's such a great guy, right? He's like becoming a legend. And I think what is so cool, it is so cool to see someone at the highest level, to see someone with that kind of platform be so open about his relationship with Jesus. It's awesome. I saw a video this week online where he was giving some big speech to a huge crowd of people, and he used that platform to talk about how important it is that, you know, that obviously he studies his NFL playbook, yes, but how much more important it was to him to study the Bible, which he said was his playbook book for life that will extend well beyond his football career. Now, I really love to see this. I really do. I think it is so cool to see when stuff like this happens, when guys use their platform like that to do a whole lot of good. Super cool. But if I'm honest, sometimes this kind of thing can also be a little bit discouraging to me as well, if I'm being honest. Sometimes I start to feel like I can't do as much good in this world, or I can't make as much of a difference in this world unless I have a big, huge platform too. Right? We live in such a like celebrity culture that I think sometimes it's easy for all of us to get sucked into this way of thinking that it's only people. We start thinking, I think it's only people with a big giant, you know, platform that have tons of influence. I think it's really only those kind of people that actually live lives of real significance. Does anyone else ever feel this way? Yeah, it's only those people, those kind of platforms that actually live lives of real significance. You might be thinking, well, I'm not Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I'm not Billy Graham. Yeah, I'm not Mother Teresa. Maybe you're not even quite yet the spiritual type, and you're thinking like, I'm not, you know, Jeff Bezos or Elon Musk or fill in the blank. You're going like, I'm in sales. I'm in marketing. I make plastic parts all day long. I sit in an office all day long. I don't even have an office. I sit in a cubicle. You might be going, I don't even have an office. I got to work at a coffee shop. I work from home. Or you're going, I'm just a janitor. I'm a cashier, or I'm just a receptionist, or you know, you're going, I just punch in and punch out every day. Or maybe you're going, I'm unemployed. I just lost my job. Nobody knows my name. Nobody knows who I am. Stan, you don't understand. People like me don't live lives of real significance. Trust me, I know the feeling. And so if you've ever had thoughts like that before, Stan, people like me don't live lives of real significance. If you ever had that kind of thought before, then man, oh man, oh man, am I so glad that you are here today. Because we're in week number two of a message series that you heard Jonathan mention. It's called Extraordinary, Ordinary People. And the series was designed to take an up close and personal look at some of the Bible's supporting cast. God and Jesus are obviously the main characters of the Bible. But beyond that, the Bible is filled with a whole bunch of ordinary men and women who demonstrate extraordinary faith in God. And here's what's so cool. We learn some amazing lessons from them as we see that we too have the potential to become extraordinary, ordinary people as well. And so today we're going to look at the story in the New Testament of two ordinary, normal, everyday dudes who do some extraordinary things in the name of Jesus. And as we look at this one particularly extraordinary moment, I think that we are gonna see what it is that God is looking for from you and me. I think we're gonna see that being used by God or making a big difference or living a life of real significance, it really comes down to maybe just one thing in particular. And it's not a title. It's not a salary. It's not a master's degree. It's not the platform of an Instagram influencer or the platform of, you know, a celebrity or an NFL quarterback. It's actually something entirely different. And I want to look at what that something is today. To do so, we're going to turn our attention to the book of Acts. The book of Acts is simply a book in the New Testament that records all of the acts or the actions of the apostles in the days, you know, following Jesus's ministry on earth when the first century church was being established. And in Acts chapter 3, there's two men by the name of Peter and John. They were two of Jesus's closest companions, just some regular everyday dudes whom Jesus said, hey, you two, come with me. Okay, and so one day, Peter and John, they're at the temple. They've gone for afternoon prayer. And on their way in, they encounter a crippled man who's begging for money. And if you grew up in church and, you know, you might have heard this story, you might have heard it in a little song even. But Peter and John, they tell the man that they don't have any money, but that they will give to him what it is that they do have. And so in the name of Jesus, they tell the man who was crippled from birth, they tell the man to get up and walk. And right then and there, they reach down and they grab the man by the hand and they help him stand to his feet. And the Bible says that he walks away, kicking and jumping and giving thanks to God. Okay? And the people in the crowd who witnessed this, they're astonished, as well they should be, right? All the crowd, all the people there that day, they recognized this man as the beggar who sits at the temple gate every single day. They've walked past him every single day. They recognize who it is that was just involved in this amazing deal, right? And they also are going, wait a second, he just hightailed out of here on both feet, you know, kicking his heels. This is amazing, right? The crowd is actually in complete awe of what Peter and John have just pulled off. And Peter recognizes the opportunity in front of him. He's going, I think that we just captured all of their attention. If we play our cards right, I think God could use this moment to capture their hearts. Okay, and so he does not let this moment go to waste. He tells the people that are standing there, that are watching in awe, he tells the people that it was not by any power or a special ability of their own that caused the man to be healed, but it was God's power. And the people are captivated. And they continue to listen. In the next few moments, they continue to listen to Peter preach powerfully about the power of God who raised Jesus from the dead. It is an amazing, powerful moment. Unfortunately, this special moment there in the temple, it wouldn't last too long. OK, Okay. Eventually, the leading priests and like the captain of the temple guard and some other, this religious group known as the Sadducees, they all band together and they come to confront Peter and John. This whole group of people, they're kind of a group of people who are threatened by Jesus and his growing influence and his, you know, growing following and the spiritual authority that he seems to have. They don't like this. They're threatened by it. So they're going like, hey, you know, you're talking about like the resurrection of the dead. You're talking about the dead coming back to life. And B, you're claiming to do it in the name of Jesus. And they're going like, who are you to be talking like this? And so they arrest Peter and John for causing what they think to be, a big problem here. They arrest Peter and John. They throw them into jail. The next day, they're dragged in front of the council, the judge, right? And they get grilled on this whole episode, asked to clarify, once and for all, this is your last chance to take it back. By what power, they're asked, by what power are you healing this crippled man in the temple? Tell us, right? And here's Peter's response. This is amazing. Here's Peter's answer in Acts chapter 4, verse 10. He says this. He says, let me clearly state to you and all the people of Israel that he was healed, this crippled man, that he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says that the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And Peter goes on to tell them there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. He's not holding back. And the response of the council is so fascinating to me. The response of the council is so interesting. The response is actually what I really wanted us to take notice of this morning. Look at the next verse. It says this, the members of the council were amazed. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Why so amazed? Why so amazed? Here's why. For they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. They're amazed at the boldness, the stuff they just pulled off. For they could see they were ordinary men with no special training in the scriptures. Let me stop here for a second. This is the part that stops me in my tracks. This is the part that gets my attention. The Bible says that these guys were ordinary men, but it gets even better than that, okay? The Greek word for ordinary, and I don't like, going around throwing Greek words, too much if I don't have to, okay? But this is too good. The Greek word that's translated as ordinary here is the word idiotes. I'm not making this up. I got a Greek Bible in my office. I will show you after church if you don't believe me. The Greek word that for ordinary here, it's the word idiotes. I'm gonna give you one guess as to which English word we get from the Greek word idiotes. Are you catching this? Okay, they're ordinary, normal, regular, everyday, untrained idiotes. Okay, I hope the point is clear here. There's nothing special about them. There's no special training. There's no special expertise. There's no special platform that they stand on. And yet they're doing extraordinary things with extraordinary and uncommon boldness. How is it possible? How did they do it? We got to finish the verse. Because this is where it all becomes clear. The council was amazed at what they had just done, amazed at their boldness, for they could see they were ordinary men, but they also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. Mid-Current Church, the only thing that sets us up for lives of significance in this world is our nearness to Jesus. Right? Somebody here today needs to write this down. Proximity is always greater than a platform. Okay, our proximity to Jesus is always greater than any kind of platform that we might have. Proximity to Jesus is the X factor. Okay, the council is amazed because in their world, these guys were nobodies. But they could see, it was clear to them that they were men who had been with Jesus, and apparently it changed everything. Folks, when people are near to Jesus, it changes them. When people are near to Jesus, they receive courage and boldness that they would not have otherwise. When people are near to Jesus, they demonstrate abilities that they would not have otherwise. Insignificant people in the eyes of the world go on to do massively significant things in the eyes of the Lord. Common people do uncommon things. And yes, ordinary people just like you and just like me go on to do extraordinary things with the lives that we live. Friends, here's what I think God is asking me to tell all of you today, that it is not the size of your platform, but rather your proximity to Jesus that determines the significance of the life that you live. Let me say that again. It is not the size of your platform, but rather it is your proximity to Jesus that determines the significance of the life that you live. And I can tell you honestly, if I pull the curtain back on my own heart and my own life, I can tell you honestly that I think this is the lesson that God is trying to teach me right now. That this is the lesson that God has been trying to teach me in my life. And let me tell you what, little by little, with each new experience, with each new day, with each new high and low, I'm starting to get the message, and I think sometimes I'm learning the hard way, that the only thing that matters in the life that I'm living is how near I am to Jesus in the midst of it all. That the significance of my life is not determined by how far and wide my gifts reach across this community, this country, but how close I am to Jesus with every step that I take. Truthfully, I told you, I'm pull back the curtain. Truthfully, here's what's true of me. I think I have spent way too much time trying to emulate pastors and leaders in my profession who have platforms that I wish that I had, or platforms that I think I have, gifts that could allow me to, stand on similar platforms, right? And so I follow pastors like Andy Stanley and Craig Rochelle and Levi Lusco. And I think, whoa, those guys seem to be good guys. And they kind of seem like a big deal. And it seems like they're doing some pretty significant stuff. And so I want to, be a good guy that's, doing lots of significant stuff. And so here's what happens. I'm tempted to try to emulate what I see from them. I try to act like them, and I try to think like them, and I try to preach like them. And I wonder if I should write books like them, or maybe I should start to, host a podcast like them, or, maybe I should try to be speaking at big conferences like them, or organize this church like them. And I'm learning in real time, every day, sometimes the hard way, I'm learning that's just not it. None of that is the secret sauce to a life of significance. I'm not saying any of that is inherently wrong or bad. I'm not suggesting that you can't write a book or have a podcast or have a big congregation. I'm not saying that platform of any size is a bad thing. I'm not saying that the platform of any noticeable notable pastor is inherently wrong. That all this stuff just needs to be in the right order. Proximity first, platform maybe to come later. And so here's the challenge for me. I need to make sure that the focus of my attention and the focus of my emulation, it's not on the platform on which they stand, but on their proximity to Jesus that I have to believe is what led them to the platform in the first place. It's not the platform itself, it's their proximity to Jesus that I have to believe is what led to the lives of significance that they now lead. If I had to guess, I would say it's most likely, here's what I'm learning, it's probably the things that I don't see in them that results in all the things that I do see and that I do want. And so sometimes I wonder if I just don't see the time that they spend on their knees in prayer. I wonder if I just don't see how often they are scouring and devouring God's word for direction in their life and in their leadership. I wonder if I just don't see all the times that they have asked God to search their heart and to see if there's anything offensive in them. I'm wondering, maybe I just don't see all the times in their life and in their leadership that they wish they could have turned left, but the true Jesus-like decision was to turn right. Now, I can't guarantee that any of that is true of them, but the goal for me, I'm learning, the goal for me is still the same of what I want to be true of my life. I want the mark of my life. I want the mark that I leave on this world, not to be one where other people are going like, wow, look at what a big platform he has, but wow, look at how close to Jesus he is in every single thing that he does. And look at the fruit that seems to follow, right? If people are gonna be amazed at anything I do, and that's a big if, I want them to be amazed at the things that I do because they're going, wow, he seems like such a regular dude. Who would have thought? He seems so ordinary. And you know what? After a closer examination, he is a really pretty regular, ordinary dude, but it seems pretty clear that he has been with Jesus. You know what? That explains everything. That's what I want. And Midcurrent, I want the same to be true for you. I want you to want the same thing to be true for you. So then let me ask you a question. It's a simple question, maybe not as easy to answer as quickly, but here's a question. If proximity to Jesus is what matters most, more than a big platform, then here's a question. Where are you in proximity to Jesus? Right? There's just so you know, there's no expected answer. Like, I'm not saying there's a spot that you have to be. We walk in through these doors every Sunday, all of us at different places, at different stages of this whole deal. There's no expected answer, but you got to answer it nonetheless. Where are you in proximity to Jesus? In fact, I'd love to have you ask this question to yourself sometime in the next couple hours or the next couple days, or maybe discuss it with a spouse or with a best friend. If you're coming to MC Connections on Thursday, maybe there's a moment for you to discuss this with other people that are, you know, mixing it up here. But here's the next question. If I was to take this a step further, if Jesus, this is just kind of a silly little example here, if Jesus was in Hudson, Wisconsin, what city on the map represents where you are in proximity to him? Again, there's no expected answer. I just wonder, what city on the map in the U.S. or maybe in the world, I don't know, what city on the map represents where you are in proximity to Jesus? I'd be fascinated to be a part of those kind of discussions. And here's the challenge then, folks, wherever you are, like I told you, it doesn't matter whether you'd say River Falls or whether you'd say, like, you know, Taiwan, I don't know, wherever you are, here's the challenge. Ask yourself what it would take and what it would look like to be one step closer. Whatever city you pick, however you would describe your proximity to Jesus, ask yourself what it would take and what it would look like to be one step closer. Because I think proximity to Jesus and nearness to Jesus in the life that you are living, I think that's what determines the significance of the life that you live. And I think that kind of proximity and I think that kind of nearness can be achieved in our lives. I think it can be achieved, and there's all sorts of ways. I mean, for some of you, you might need to spend more time in the presence of Jesus in your everyday life, in the morning before you go to work, in prayer, with your, you know, cup of coffee and your journal in hand, or in church on Sunday morning in worship. More time in the presence of Jesus. For some of you, you might need to spend more time in God's word. That's the scripture. That's the Bible. For some of you, it needs to become the playbook for your everyday life. Set some time every day that you study it. Right? For some of you, you need to spend more time evaluating the decisions that you make in your home or in your office or in, you know, the sales room to ensure that they are the most Jesus-like decisions, no matter the cost, right? For some of you, nearness to Jesus, it might be achieved by serving people and loving the people and the places that Jesus loves and that he cares about. Scripture tells us that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. Well, if we want to be near to him, apparently that's where he's at. He's near to the hurting and to the sick and to the hungry and to the naked and to the lonely and to the scared and to the forgotten and the overlooked. So maybe that's where we ought to be too. Folks, these are just a few of the ways that I would suggest that we could begin to, you know, tighten things up. These are just a few ways that I would suggest that you could tighten your proximity to Jesus. And you might have others that work, you know, for you. And you might have others that you would suggest to others as well. And that's great. I am all for proximity to Jesus, however it's achieved, rather than the impressive platforms on which we might stand. And at the end of the day, gang, my prayer for this church, my prayer is not that this would be the church of all the, you know, the most successful looking people who have the, you know, the biggest platforms, you know, who also are willing to spend an hour in church on Sunday. That's not my prayer that we would be the church. Like, it's not my prayer that this would be the church, the community that's got all the people who, you know, look and act like they have it all together. They have all the things that everyone else wants and they live the life that everyone else admires. And oh, isn't it neat that, you know, that they go to church too? That's not necessarily my prayer that this would be a church that just gathers together all those kind of people. That's not what I'm shooting for. And I'm not saying that, you know, successful people, whatever that means, I'm not saying that those kind of people or anyone else are invited here. They absolutely are. But the significance of this church does not depend on the significance of the people who walk through our doors. And so here's what I am interested in. Here's what I am praying for, right? I am praying that this would be the church, the church in the St. Croix Valley that is so full of people who are so near to Jesus and taking steps closer to Jesus in everything that they do, that everywhere they go, they leave a Jesus-like wake and people can't help but be amazed. And maybe, just maybe, even turn their heads and turn their hearts and turn their attention to the Jesus that we cling to and to the Jesus that we are trying to draw near to. Friends, you can help us to be that kind of church and to be those kind of people. And so that's my invitation to you today. Let's be people who care a lot more, a whole lot more about our proximity to Jesus in everything that we do, rather than the size of the platform on which we stand. Let me pray. God, we give you thanks for these stories that exist in Scripture. God, what an amazing gift to be able to read the stories of real life men and women, just like us, ordinary, regular, untrained, you know, no special skills kind of people who go on to do extraordinary things. God, I too believe that we could be those very people, that we could be extraordinary, ordinary men and women in this community, in this world, in your kingdom. And so God, would you help us to see in our own lives, it's gonna be different for everybody. Would you help us to see in our own lives, God, where it is that we need to be nearer to you, God. Would you help identify anywhere in us that we've made this life of ours about a platform more than we have about proximity to you, God. Would you help us to see anywhere where that stuff is out of order in our life, and would you help us to get it in the right order? And God, as we do, we pray that people would notice, not so that they would notice us, God, but that they would notice you. God, we pray that we truly could be a bunch of ordinary men and women doing extraordinary things in the places that we have influence every single day. God, give us your courage and your strength, God, and remind us of the unending grace that you have for us too as we pursue that kind of initiative, God, as we travel on that kind of journey toward you, to be nearer to you in all that we do. God, we're praying these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. For more information and to visit us online, check out midcurrentchurch.org and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Midcurrent Church is located at 200 First Street in downtown Hudson, Wisconsin. Be sure to join us on Sunday mornings, both online and in person at 9 and 10:30 a.m.